Today we began a new series on the book of 1 Thessalonians, which I've entitled Blessed Assurance. A book of encouragement and a book of hope. As we spend these weeks together, I pray that our hearts will be lifted up and encouraged from God's Word as we find the assurance that God's Word gives us in the midst of days of uncertainty. For I've entitled this message for the first one, A Dynamite Church in an Explosive World. Because we definitely live in an explosive world. A world where it seems like everything is chaotic and out of control at times. But the church at Thessalonica was a church that, as we're going to see, was a model church. A church that we would say was dynamic or dynamite on fire for the Lord. And a church that its beginnings were kind of, as we'll see if you read through Acts, its beginnings were how it started was not been a church that we looked like would have been a success at all. But through it, it became a model of the faith. And before we get into what God has to say to us in this book, as we start any study of a new book, it's good to understand a little bit about it. So we want to do a little bit of an introduction to what 1 Thessalonians is all about. And on the back side of the sermon outline, I have a lot of this down there for you, so you don't have to write this information. But it's here for you, so you have it. 1 Thessalonians was written by Paul in the year 51 AD, during Paul's second missionary journey from Corinth. That's where the Corinthians came in. But he wrote it from Corinth, the city of Corinth, and on a map I have it. You'll have it here. Paul had been preaching, and the second missionary journey, he went back to Asia to the churches in Asia where he had established under his first missionary journey in the province of Galatia. And his God gave him a vision and said, I want you to come to Macedonia, a vision of a man said, come to Macedonia and help us. So Paul, believing that was the leading of the Lord, left Asia and come over into Europe. And we have the gospel coming to Europe. And so the first place he stopped was a town called Philippi. In chapter 6 of Acts. In chapter 6 of Acts, he goes to Philippi and he preaches there. And some people become saved, but he is arrested and he is put into prison. And if you remember the story of the Philippian jailer coming to faith, and at midnight, Paul and Silas being in jail and praising God, and they were released by an earthquake. That happened in the city of Philippi. After he left Philippi, he then went on to Thessalonica, which is right here, the next town down. And he began to preach. And as he preached, a lot of people believed. And many believed, and a church was formed. But if you read Acts 17 this week, and I asked you to read that in preparation for background, if you read Acts 17, you saw that a riot broke out. And the riot got so bad for Paul's safety, they had to escort him out of the city quickly. So Paul had to leave the city of Thessalonica, and he went on to Berea, then he went on to Athens, and to Corinth to continue to preach. But as he left Thessalonica, the church was formed and established without any leadership. So Paul was concerned about them. So from Athens, he decided he was going to send Timothy back to check on the believers in this new little church up at Thessalonica to see how they were doing. So Paul remained at Athens and then went on to Corinth while he waited for Timothy to come back. When Timothy came back to Corinth while Paul was there, he presented Paul a report. He gave Paul a report on what was going on and how the believers were doing at Thessalonica. And the report was that as a good pastor, Paul was concerned about them, and the report was that the church had remained faithful. Even during times of persecution, even during opposition, they had become faithful and their faith had grown strong. And Paul said they had become a model of the faith to all the other churches in Achaia and Macedonia, this part of the world, as a model. So Paul wrote back to them after receiving Timothy's report. 1 Thessalonians is a letter back after receiving the report from Timothy, a letter back to and continue to encourage them of the good news that he heard, and to continue to encourage them in their unfaithfulness and to assure them of the blessed assurance that they have through Christ's return. That's a little bit of the background of why this book was written. The city of Thessalonica itself was a major city in those days. It still is. This is a picture of modern-day Thessalonica. Today it's called Thessaloniki, Greece. But it's still the same place Paul went to. But it was the capital and the largest city of the province of Macedonia at the time. And as a result, it was very influential. It was located on a major Roman road that led from Rome all the way to the Orient. And it was a major seaport, as you can see. It had a vibrant shipping industry. And it had a population in the time when Paul was there of 200,000 people. Quite a large city. And it was very wealthy, but it was very pagan, with a lot of pagan influence. And into that city the gospel came, and into that city Paul traveled to bring the gospel. A simple division of this book breaks down this way. The first three chapters is Paul's reflections as reflecting on the church and their faithfulness. And the second two chapters, 4 and 5, is Paul's instructions on how to live with the blessed assurance that we have in light of the Lord's return. Just a little bit of background to the book of Thessalonians before we look into chapter 1 this morning. But the church at Thessalonica was definitely a dynamic church. It was a church, as he said, became a model in verse 7 for all of the believers to follow. Even though Paul established them and had to quickly driven out of town because of the riot, they had learned, and Paul had taught them well in that short time, that they had remained faithful and true. And it was a church that in the midst of an explosive world around them of rioting and chaos, they continued to remain faithful. In the midst of a day we are living that is hostile to the gospel and becoming more and more so, God wants us to continue to remain faithful to Him. And a day when people do not want to hear the truth, and a day when people are turning their heart away from it, God wants us to be that kind of church that is a model to the others to follow. A church, and we know that the church is not the building, it is the people, right? And my prayer is that we too would become a dynamite church in an explosive world. That we'd become a church that is on fire for God, a church that is explosive for Him, in a world that so desperately needs to see what Jesus looks like. But the church is not the building. The church is the people. It is us. And so the church will become what we and who we are, right? And so this morning, as we begin chapter 1, we want to look at four qualities and discover together four qualities of a dynamic church, or a dynamite church, as Paul wrote this personal letter to them. He begins by giving them thanks for their faith. He thanks them for their faithfulness to the Lord and holds them up as a model. And if we want to become dynamic in our faith, the kind of faith that God calls us to live today, first, it's transformative in its nature. Dynamic church and our faith is to be transformative in the nature that we have. Notice what he says as he begins, Paul and Silas and Timothy, to the church at Thessalonica, Thessalonians, in God our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace be to you. Because God's grace, when it comes into our life, transforms us and changes us. The city of Thessalonica was changed and transformed because the gospel came to it. That's why the riot broke out. Because when the truth of God came, people's lives began to be changed from darkness into light. And the pagan influences of the city of Thessalonica began to be challenged. And it led people to respond to that. And when Jesus comes into your life and mine, He should make a change in us. And things should be different. And that's what was happening in Thessalonica. And it changes us personally. And makes us into new people. And the members of the Thessalonian church had experienced radical change in their life. And the town was experiencing radical change. So much so that, as you saw in Acts, they came and charged Jason, who was where Paul was staying. And the riot ensued that Paul had to leave. Today, when we see the change that Jesus makes in us, some people, the change that Jesus makes is countercultural. It goes different, counter to the culture in which we live. And Mark Howe points out that when we know Jesus, we will know change. And if there is no change, then there is no Jesus. Because Jesus should be transforming your life and mine, just as it transformed the culture and the day of Thessalonica. It should change us. Now, your change in mind may not be as dramatic as Paul's. Paul was a persecutor of the church. And when he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, his life was radically changed, completely different. And yours and my story may be different than that. Probably like most of us, we grew up in the church and we knew, accepted Christ as a young age, a child, right? And maybe that change was less dramatic, but yet there still should be a change, right? We should still be learning and becoming more like Jesus now than we were yesterday or the year before. Continuing to deal with our anger issues or our forgiveness issues or our worry or our doubt or the things that all of us plague us with. There still should be a change in us. It may be less dramatic, but it still should be there. Because knowing Jesus brings about a change. Our country needs a change. We're heading the wrong direction, aren't we? I mean, we were founded upon faith and trust in God, and our country needs a change. But I'm here to tell you, the change that our country needs does not rest in any politician. It does not rest with any political party. It does not, is not found in Washington, D.C. The only change that our that can really affect our country is found in Jesus Christ. And when he changes us, the church changes, God works through us to change the world. But it happens through Jesus. It's transformative in nature. And a church that is dynamite on fire for God is a church that has experienced a transformation through Jesus Christ. Personally, and as we're all seeking to become more like him. Because his nature transforms us personally, and it transforms us positionally. Not only were they changed inside, but they were changed by who they are. And he says, grace and peace to you. The gospel of Christ changing us changes our position and our standing before God. Not only personally, but where we are. In that we receive grace, because grace is our standing before God. And we, that wonderful hymn, Amazing Grace That Saved a Wretch Like Me. Because of the faith, your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, because of him, God's grace has been given and our standing before God has been changed. The once we were separated from God, but because of his grace in your life and mine, we are received by him. That's something to praise God for. That's a big change. Change of our standing and the change of our relationship through peace. And that once we were at war, or the Bible says at enmity with God, there was a division there. But because of Jesus Christ in our life, we have peace. And we have a relationship with him. We are right with him. So the gospel of Jesus Christ, the faith in God, is transformative in the nature of it. Changing us personally, changing our position before God, giving us a good place to be. But it also is genuine in its expression. Because as Paul goes on to reflect on the church at Thessalonica and his few months there, he wasn't there long, but he was there long enough to establish the church and to reflect on their character and life, and as Timothy reported back, he thanked God for them, and he says, I always thank God for you, mentioning you in my prayers, because he reflected on the faith that they had was a faith that was genuine. It was true. It was authentic. Sometimes, as Christians, we can fall into the trap of having our normal life, and then we come to Sunday morning, and then we put on a facade. And we think that we have to make everybody think that we don't have any problems. You know, that everything's perfect in our life, and that everything's perfect in our home, everything's perfect in our family, everything's perfect in our life. We don't have any problem, any challenge, everything's okay. And if someone asks you how are, oh, I'm good, you know, and we have to, but that kind of faith is not genuine. God wants us to be authentic, meaning who we really are, and being real, and living out their faith. Real faith is real, you know, real life. And that's who the Thessalonians were. They lived out their faith in an authentic way. They did not try to put something on that they were not. And so often we try to put something on that we're not because we want people to think we're maybe more spiritual than we are at times. Have you ever fallen into that trap? And the Thessalonians didn't do that. They were authentic. They were genuine. And Paul praised God for that. He saw their genuine faith being lived out. There was no pretense. And there was three ways that they showed it. And an authentic faith that is genuine in its expression, which God calls us to, manifests itself in a faith that works. Notice he says in verse 3. He says, this is how you live out your authentic faith. He said, I remember you, and I remember your faith because your faith is produced, your work is produced by faith, that their faith was working out in their life, and it was being demonstrated, a visual manifestation of that interchange. Now, we had just gone through the book of James. In the book of James, we had learned how faith works, and we looked at many different ways and how that faith to be lived out. And Paul said that the Thessalonians were doing that very thing. They were living their faith out, and the interchange to what Jesus was making in them was being displayed in the way they lived their life. Is that true of you and me? That it's true, that it's put to work, that it shows in what we do, that it's active, and it's being lived. That's what God calls us to. That's genuine faith, living out what we say we believe. Faith that works, but genuine faith is also faith that loves. Because he said, as I reflect on you, he said also your labor, your genuine faith is shown in your labor that was prompted by love. That word labor of there is the word that relates to the point of weariness, sweat, and fatigue. He said the love that they showed was to the point of weariness and exhaustion. He said they didn't just say that they love somebody. They showed it, and they put their life down, and they really demonstrated it. They were willing to go the distance to the point of exhaustion for one another. That's the kind of love they demonstrated. That's a genuine faith that they lived out. And a good illustration of what that word labor means is for you women that gave birth and went into labor. That was an exhausting experience, wasn't it? Weary, crying sweat, pain, toil, hard. But at the end, when the child came, wasn't it worth it? And you did that as a labor of love. And that's the word that Paul was using here to describe how we are to show that same kind of love to each other. That love that gives of itself, that goes to the point, that to exhaustion for one another, and willing to do what it takes. That's genuine faith. That's putting our love in action and demonstrating it. The Thessalonian church, even though they were young as believers, even though Paul had to leave them and they were left without teaching, had learned how to grow and show that kind of love for one another and how to put their faith at work in a dynamic way. But they also are genuine in their faith because a genuine faith is a faith that endures. And he said, as I reflect back on you, he said, your endurance, verse 3, was inspired by hope. That in a city where they were experiencing persecution, in a city where Paul was driven from them because of a riot, they still did not give up. When adversity came, they endured. And the hardship, and they willingly endured because they had a blessed assurance and they had a hope. A hope that Paul had taught them in that short time with them, and Paul had taught them the hope that they had in Jesus Christ. And their faith and the hope in him gave them the strength and endurance that they needed. Genuine faith for you and I is faith that goes a distance, that labors in love, but has the endurance to continue to press on even when hard times come. Because we know that we are confident in Jesus Christ and the hope that he's given us. and he is with us now and always. A dynamic church is one who's experienced a transformative change. It's one that is genuine in the expression of its faith. But the third quality we see is also one that's contagious in its passion. Because as Paul reflected on this church at Thessalonians, he said to them that you have become imitators of us, in verse 6, and you have become, verse 7, a model to all the believers in Macedonia, Achaia, or in that part of the world. They became a model. They were contagious, their faith, and that people wanted to emulate them because they were emulating Christ. Now think for a minute this morning of how many churches that you pass in a single day. Even maybe driving here this morning, how many churches did you pass before coming here this morning? And as you drove past that church, what do you know about that church? Maybe all you know about that church is what you see on the outside. Maybe how they keep them, how they have the building maintained on the outside of the grounds, or maybe something about a sign they have on the side. But most likely, all we know about a church by driving by is by what we see on the outside. We know nothing about the inside. Most likely, that's all we know. But that's not what God intends. God intends that the people on the outside know what's going on and wonder what's going on the inside. And that happens when we have a contagious faith. When people see that excitement in us and in Jesus, saying, man, I want that. I want to know what's happening there. And wouldn't that be when people driving by here say, boy, I want to know what's happening in there? Isn't that what we want? That kind of faith that's contagious, then that's what the Thessalonians had, for people to know. And that can happen when we have a contagious faith. Now, in Washington, D.C., there was a sign that went up on a church that read this. And it said, going out of business. And someone had put the sign up going out of business because the church was closing down. And it was sad when a church closed down. That sign was up there. And then later on, so another week later or so, someone drove by and put up another sign that said, we didn't even know what our business was. Why do you think the church closed down? Because they didn't know what they were about. And they didn't know the passion and the mission that God gave them. Conservative estimates estimate that 3,500 to 4,000 churches will close down every year. Can you believe that? Which is an average of 70 a week. And why is that the case? Because they have forgotten what their mission and purpose is. And their faith was not contagious. And they didn't see the passion of what God's called them to do. The church at Thessalonica was alive and well, even though Paul was driven out of town, and they were a model, and they were contagious because they knew and had a passion. And we need to be contagious in our passion, and that's the passion for the gospel. He says here in verses 4 to 8 that you became imitators of us, but he said, in spite of suffering, you welcomed the message given with joy. And you, when the gospel came to you, not simply with words, but with power, you received it. And he said, then the message rang out from you. And they knew it was the gospel that had changed their life. And when Paul brought the gospel to them, they received it. And it made such a change in them that they were so passionate, they wanted other people to know. And I ask you this morning, did Jesus make such a change in you and done such great things in you, you want other people to know about it? They didn't keep it to themselves. And see, that's why they were contagious, because they didn't keep it to themselves. They wanted people on the outside to know what was happening in them. They wanted people to have that same hope that they experienced. And we all have people that we know, family and friends, that need Jesus. And having that passion that they too would come to know Christ. A contagious church is a church that has that passion for the lost, has that passion for people that need Jesus, not just comfortable with ourselves. But it says the Lord's message rang out from you. It was communicated from their very life and the way they lived, in the passion, in the contagious faith that they demonstrated. Is your faith contagious? Is the question. Do people want what you have? Do they see Jesus in you so much that the faith rings out from you, the way you live, and in the hunger that we create for Him? Passion for the gospel and also passion for Christ. A contagious church not only has a passion to share the gospel, it has a passion to be more like Jesus. Because in verse 9, it says, "For they," talking others, "report what kind of reception you gave us. And they tell," this is a report that we received back from Timothy, "how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." That the church at Thessalonica had a passion for Christ, that they turned away from idols to turn to Christ. Their affection for anything else, they turned their affection away from and turned it on to Jesus. And they turned away from the things that turned their affection to Christ. Turning away from idols is never easy, because we spend our time and our money on the things that are important to us. Not that they're so bad in themselves, but they're often idols of our own making. We spend our time and money on them, and they're not that they're bad, but they can become objects of our affection. And anything that becomes an object of our affection more than Jesus, we need to turn from. And how do we do that? Well, we turn from something to Jesus, and we turn from something to someone. And from that which we find joy in, to Jesus Himself. Having that passion for Christ, that we love Him first and foremost. That's what is contagious in our faith. That's what people want to see. That's what the church at Thessalonica was an example of. Contagious faith, a transformative, that were changed from within, and that hope that was genuine. But the fourth thing we see is that a church that is transformed is a church that is confident in its hope. That's what makes a dynamic church, when we're confident in the hope that we have. Because verse 10 says that we wait for the Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, who Jesus rescued us from the coming wrath. Because God has given us confidence. That is, the church at Thessalonica faced hardship and struggle, they had confidence to know that Jesus was with them, and they had a hope that He was someday coming back. And we have that confidence that we can endure adversity. And they did it faithfully. And in spite, it says, of the persecution that came their way, in spite of the hardship that came their way, they endured the adversity and overcame. Because their hope was in Jesus Christ, and their confidence was in Him. And we have that assurance, as Paul taught the church at Thessalonica, that Jesus was someday going to return. The things in the world will continue to get worse until that day. And when things seem to be falling apart, they're falling in place, as Wayne Clapierre said. They're falling into where they need to be. And we can be confident that God is in control. And He gives us the endurance we need when the hard times come, but also we can wait patiently. Because it says, as you wait for the Son from heaven, Jesus Christ, whom He raised from the dead. Waiting on God's time is hard. Waiting for God to receive us, to fulfill His plan, is difficult. But waiting patiently is where we have that assurance and that confidence that it says, as we wait, that He will rescue us from the coming wrath. When we have spent the time in the book of Revelation, we had seen how the rapture will come, that Jesus will rescue us from that day of coming wrath. Later on, when we get into the book of Thessalonians, Paul's going to deal with the rapture again. We'll be dealing with that more intently there. But he's saying that the confidence and waiting for the Lord's return gives that confidence to wait and know that in God's time And in God's plan, he will be faithful and come through. He will bring us through those difficult days. He will do what he's promised us. Paul's time at Thessalonica was very, very short. And if we didn't know the rest of the story and didn't receive this letter that Paul wrote back to them, we would think that his days there were a failure. If you haven't read Acts chapter 17, I'd encourage you read that this week, because that fills in the details of the founding of the church. But we would, if we didn't know this letter and receive it from Paul, we would have thought that his time there was surely a failure. Man, the church was established. He was driven out of town, a riot, and the people were left on their own. But with the letter that we have of 1 Thessalonians, we see that God was doing something greater there than Paul ever could have imagined. The church was vibrant, it was healthy, it was faithful, and it was strong. Paul would not ever return back to the city again. He would not ever go back to the city of Thessalonica. He would never see them again. But yet, what was began there, God brought to completion. Paul wrote to the Philippians that he who began a good work in you will bring it on to the day of completion in Christ Jesus. And God did something far greater than Paul ever could have imagined. And a dynamic church was born in an explosive world around them, because they were transformed through the work of Christ. They were genuine in their faith and in their love. They were confident in their hope, and they were courageous and contagious in the passion they had for Christ. May those qualities be true of us and emulate them in our life, that we too would become that kind of church that becomes dynamic in our faith and a model for others to follow. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the church at Thessalonica, which was a model of a church that lived so well and faithfully for you in spite of hard times and opposition and a culture that was against them. We find ourselves, Lord, as well, living in parallel days. But yet, you call us to be faithful and to endure, to keep our eye on the blessed assurance that we have that you are coming again, but not to throw our hands up in despair, but to fully engage the world around us, to fully engage each day we have for you to the fullest we can. Lord, continue to make us into that kind of dynamite church that would be dynamic in who we are, that people would be drawn to you. And Lord, that happens when we continue to be transformed by the nature of who you are, becoming more and more like you every day, as you continue to change us from within and making us into the people of God you want us and call us to be. As we express our faith in a genuine way, not in pretense, but in our faith being at work and active in us, in our, the love that we show to one another that gives of itself in full expression, and that endurance, Lord, that even when the hard times come, we don't throw in the towel and walk away, but we endure because we know that we have that confidence in you. Lord, may our faith and our passion for you be so contagious in us that others see you in us and want what we have. That they don't just drive by here, but they say, man, what's going on there? I want to be a part of it. And then when people see us, to wherever where we are, they are drawn to you because our faith is contagious and others desire and want to know, want to have what we do too. Lord, may our passion for you be that strong and our love and commitment to you. And Lord, the confidence that we have in our hope and our assurance that is blessed, that even when tough days come, even when adversities and trials come our way, that we can endure because we have confidence in you, that you will never forsake us. You are with us now and always. And that someday you are coming again and we'll make everything right. So we wait patiently on you, Lord, looking to you that in your time you will give the signal. Gabriel, blow the trumpet, and you will return. Until that time, may we live faithfully for you as the Thessalonians did, as you encourage them to do, and you call us to do in our day today. So, Lord, may we be the kind of church that it was written about in Thessalonica that became a model to all the churches in Achaia. May we become a model of what it means of faithfulness to the churches in East Donegal Township in Lancaster County, that people would see in us what it means to be faithful and committed to you. And thank you, Lord, for your word and its truth as we live it out in our life every day. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.